Mark chapter 6. I try not to hold you real long. I'm getting a late start this morning, but try to obey the Lord and just have a little bit of preaching and give you what the Lord gave me. It's kind of an unusual thought, but starting verse number 1, it said, "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him." And Jesus went on to talk about how a man's without honor in his own country, among his own kin. But where I want to preach from this morning is verse number 8. I've never preached on this before. But they said, "Is this not the carpenter?" They said, "Who is it that's come here preaching like this and doing these mighty great works? Ain't this the guy that's a carpenter from down the road? And ain't he the guy that builds things and builds furniture and, or maybe he builds houses? I don't really know to what extent, but I know that Joseph, his stepdaddy, was a carpenter, and Jesus grew up under him, and he taught him what he knew. And I want to preach this morning on this, what Jesus the carpenter made of the cross. Jesus was a carpenter, and he built things out of wood. I've always been fascinated with that. I never could build much of nothing. I can cobble around. My daddy said he was a cobbler. That's why I've kind of inherited that from him. I can't build much. I can't get nothing square, nothing level. But Grandpa, his daddy, used to say, if it's close, nail it. And that's kind of the way I am. I mean, I can rig it up. I ain't really a carpenter, but it always impressed me to watch somebody build cabinets or something, cut all those angles and all that, and make that thing fit together to look beautiful, look like it was built, and that house was built around it. You ever seen anybody do that? Well, I think that's the kind of carpenter that Jesus was. I think Jesus was the kind of man when they come through the market to buy him and Joseph's stuff they'd built, they was impressed. My, what precision and what perfection. And look at the attention to detail given in this chair here or this sofa or whatever it might have been. And brother, but I want to tell you something. Jesus built something far greater than a sofa or a chair or a swing set or a house or a bird house or a rabbit trap or anything else. That's what I want to preach about. 1 Peter 2:24 said, "Who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." Now here's what I want you to notice this morning, that when Jesus died, it's ironic that He spent His life with His hands building things with nails and wood and that type thing. And when it come time for Him to die, they laid Him down on a piece of wood and took nails and drove into His hands. Brother, I want you to know this morning that the greatest thing that's ever been built was not the Hoover Dam or the Taj Mahal or any of those great seven wonders of the world, but it's when Jesus Christ, the virgin-born Lamb of God, laid down on the cross. He had two pieces of wood and three nails, and brother, He built something. Thank God. I want to say I'm glad today that I know Jesus Christ, the carpenter. He is the one who builds. I'll show you what He built. Number one, He built with this cross, He built a scale on which to weigh the worth of human soul. The Bible said you're bought with a price. Oh, Jesus built a set of scales with the cross. Brother Jeff, when He hung there dying, it wasn't because He wanted to or liked it or didn't have nothing better to do. It's because He saw the weight of the world. Oh, brother, the sins outweighed the purity and righteousness. And He saw that man was doomed and dead and destined for a devil's hell. There's no way out. Oh, Jesus built the scale, and He saw that no matter how good you are, no matter how good I am, I'd never make it in. I'd never get in. I'm going to hell. I need a Savior. And He built a set of scales to weigh the worth of a human soul. The Bible said, what would a man give in exchange for his soul? Amen. The man gained the whole world, lost his soul. It wouldn't be worth it. But Jesus built the scales and weighed you out and saw you wasn't going to make it. I believe it's Travis or one of them testified just a while ago and talking about we, without that, we'd be lost people, we'd be doomed. Listen to Jesus Christ. He saw you and me, and He saw that we was in need of a Savior, and He saw that we was lost. He saw we was born in sin, and there was no way out. There was no help. There was no hope. He saw that religion couldn't get us out. He saw that good works couldn't get it done. He saw that all the prayers and all the rituals in this world would never get a man to God. Oh, but thank God. I'm glad He did it, brother. I'm glad He made a way this morning when there was no way. He built, the carpenter built some scales. I'll tell you what else he built. Number two, he built a coffin. With those two pieces of wood and those three nails, he built a coffin in which to bury sin. The Bible said, "For He is our peace," Ephesians 2:14, "who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace." There's that peace we keep talking about. "And that He might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross." By the cross. It's by the cross. It's through and by the cross. Thank God for that old rugged cross. Listen, brother, when you get there, if it was to work this way, and God said, "Why should I let you in?" All you got to do is just point to the cross. That's all you got to do. The debt's been paid. Amen. Jesus Christ built a coffin, and He put sin in it. Sin was defeated at Calvary. The Bible said, "For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him." In 1 Corinthians, the famous chapter on the resurrection, it said, "In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye," verse 52, "at the trump, last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." We're just waiting for the change, brother. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. Then when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Thank God when Jesus went to the cross and He suffered and bled and died. Listen, death was pronounced on man in the Garden of Eden. Oh, but Jesus Christ bought us back. Thank God He put sin in the coffin. He built a coffin and put sin in it. I want to say thanks be unto God. The sting of death has been removed because of the carpenter, what He built. I will say number three, He built a scale and a coffin, but glory to God, He built a bridge. He built a bridge by which sinful souls can go from wickedness to righteousness. He built a bridge on which a man can go from misery to peace. He built a bridge on which a simple, mortal, sinful human being can ascend up into the heavens, far beyond the galaxies. I heard him say the night on one of them shows, he said there's 60-some thousand galaxies far beyond. They said light years from now. They said man can't comprehend how far away it is. Oh, but the Bible said in a moment, the twinkling of an eye, my mom and daddy's laying up yonder in a graveyard in North Carolina. When he says, bam, we're going to hear a sound. We're going to go shooting up out of here. We're going to go far past the atmosphere and the stratosphere and every other sphere. We'll probably pass junk up there in space that they've launched off in spaceships. We're going far beyond the sun and the sky. We're going beyond the moon and the galaxies. We're going past the Milky Way. Brother, we're going because Jesus, He built a bridge from here to glory. Preacher, how are we going to get to heaven? You ain't going to get there on your own, brother. You'll get there because He built a bridge. You get to a place where there's a big gully and ain't no other way around. There ain't nothing like a good bridge. Amen, brother. He built that bridge, the Bible said, but now, Ephesians 2:13, He said, Christ Jesus, who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace. He didn't say He has our peace. He said He is our peace. Who hath both made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Jesus Christ came along and made a way where you couldn't make a way. Jesus Christ came along and did what you couldn't do. Jesus Christ came along and paid a debt that you can never pay. Religion is a man trying to do something to impress God so God will bring him up to His level. But there's nothing can be done. But Jesus Christ on the cross did the greatest thing that's ever been done. He reached down and took a sinner by the hand and reached way up in past them galaxies I was talking about to the third heaven where God lives, and got God by the hand and brought them together like this. Oh, brother, I'll tell you that. Don't send a chill up your spine. You're hopeless. Oh, just Jesus built a bridge with those two pieces of wood and those three nails, brother. He built a bridge from here to glory. I don't know how it's going to all how it all works. I can't explain it all. But I know this, brother. I know that when people lay on their deathbed and they're saved, they're going to heaven, they start looking across and they can see across that bridge and they can see past the moon and the stars, and they'll start naming people. Debbie's mama done it a couple of years ago. She named everybody in her family, been dead for years. I thought, well, I was going to shout. I thought I was going to have me a glorified fit. Brother, I tell you, she wasn't doing nothing in the world but looking far beyond this veil of tears. She was looking past the sorrow and the pain and the hurt. She was looking across the bridge, across that Jordan to the other side. Thank God this carpenter of mine, he built a bridge. He built a bridge. Ain't you glad? You know, it's kind of like good works can't get you to heaven no more than plant life can become an animal. This might sound like a weird illustration, but you take a plant, it cannot become an animal. It's a plant. It can't evolve into an animal, regardless of what your professor tells you. The only way that it can come from its natural state up to the animal kingdom is for something up here in the animal kingdom to reach down and get it and to consume and eat it. Didn't Jesus say this? He said, except the wheat die, the grain of wheat die and fall to the ground, it's got to die. So when it dies, it springs back up. That's how plant life becomes an end to the animal life. And brother, the same way, an animal can't become a human. The only way an animal can be part of the human sphere is for a man to kill him and to butcher him and dress it and cook it and eat it. Then we consume it, it becomes part of who we are and what we are. You are what you eat, amen? Some of us look like a pork chop, bless God. Amen? But listen, the same way that God's up in heaven and we're humans, we're mortals, we're flesh and blood. Jesus said flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. There's no way we can get to heaven. Even if we had all the power in the world, we have no way to get there. A rocket can't do it. A spaceship can't do it. You can't freeze yourself and wake back up later and know that you can't get up there. The only way you get to the heavenlies, the only way you get to that spiritual being, that spiritual realm, is for somebody up there higher than you and smarter than you and more powerful than you to reach down and bring you up into that sphere. And that's exactly what God's done. Amen. When Jesus built that bridge, He said, come on over. It was God's doing. Brother, salvation is of the Lord. Salvation ain't got nothing to do with you. He built a bridge. Number four, He built a scale and a coffin and a bridge. But number four, He built a throne on which to rule the universe. I was reading this morning. Revelation chapter 4 said, after this, that's after the rapture He's talking about, I looked and behold, a door was open in heaven. And the first door which I heard was as it were a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. He's getting ready to unveil the tribulation period. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Not two or three, one. Amen? And the Bible said, he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were four, I know I'm reading a lot, but just bear with me, 24 elders. And upon the seats, I saw 24 elders sitting clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around about the throne four beasts were full of eyes before and behind. Notice how many times it keeps mentioning the throne. Everything that goes on in heaven, it's going to revolve around the throne. That's the centerpiece of glory. It's the throne of the Lamb of God. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts each had each of them six wings about him. And they were full of eyes within. And they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Oh, glory, brother. I can say amen to that. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sit upon the throne, which liveth, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sit on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their thrones before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. Thank God, I'm glad that He built a throne on which He can ascend one day. And brother, we're going to get to throw our crowns down at His feet and worship Him for what He is and for who He is. Thank God, He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the first and the last, the Alpha and Omega, that which was and is to come. He's everything, brother. He's everything from start to finish. He's going to be throned one day. It ain't going to be a political deal. It's just going to be, He's going to come back and take over. He's going to take over this mess. And the Bible said He'll rule and reign 1,000 years. And we'll get to rule and reign with Him. I might get to be the mayor of Hazelhurst. How about that? You'll never know. You'll never know who else will happen. That sounds crazy, but He might. First thing I'm going to do is abolish every lottery ticket and every can of beer and all that drama. Clean this place up. Amen. Fire everybody. Start over. Amen? Now I want to say number 5. He made a scale and a coffin and a bridge and a throne. But number 5, tell you what else He built. This carpenter of ours, He built a table. He built a table on which to feed His guests at the marriage supper. I'm going to tell you something, people. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Sometimes you go a week in and week out, and it seems like the Lord just don't really move like you wished He would. And then one Sunday you show up at church and just He shows up. Just unexpected. It ain't that I did anything particular or you did. It's just the Lord's coming by one Sunday and He said, them little youngins down there look like they need a blessing. So I'm going to go by. You know what? Listen, I believe this morning, I believe we got our feet under His table for a few minutes. Just for a few minutes this morning. Just get a little taste of it of what it's really going to be like. We can't comprehend. The Bible said, eyes not seen, ears not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man what God had prepared for them that love Him, but He has revealed it by His Spirit. The only way you can have the slightest clue of what heaven's like is to get in a service like this and just catch a glimpse of it. Man, I was sitting there a while ago and I looked up at all the people tears streaming down their face and people testifying and bragging on Jesus. Boy, I could feel it, man. I could feel His presence. It felt like the Lord just scooted me up by the table and said, just have you a bite. Amen. Just have you a snack. Amen. I'm glad, brother. Thank God He built us a table. Amen. He's going to carry us to the table of the marriage supper of the Lamb. I'm having a good time eating at the table already. These people don't believe in shouting, brother. They're going to be a nervous wreck when they get to heaven. We're going to have us a time, brother. Listen to this. Revelation 19:7 said, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. You know where that righteousness came from, don't you? Everybody knows, don't you? Of course you do. He who knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. It's His righteousness. That's why we got on those pure, holy, white robes when we get to heaven. It ain't because we're good. God ain't going to pat us on the back. St. Peter ain't going to meet us at the gate and say, you done a good job. Oh, no. It ain't nothing like that. Brother, he'll look over at his son and see the scars in his hands and his feet. And brother, he'll look back at you and he'll see through all your imperfections and your faults and your failures. And he'll see you pure and white. Brother, just like a newborn baby. Thank God, I'm glad He's got the table spread. And brother, they're prepared for us. I can't wait to get there. I can't wait to get there. How many of you get tired of eating on the road? I know everybody has to sometimes. You ever get tired of that? Don't you get tired of driving through somewhere and they just throw something at you up? Don't you just look forward to getting home? You know Mama's cooking something real. Miss Brenda's got them cat heads in the oven.
Amen.
We're going to have some real food. You know what? I look around sometimes at the world. Come on, get a stone, Rod. I look around at the world and look like, I feel like sometimes it's a losing battle. It's a losing proposition. Physically, humanly speaking, I feel that way. I feel like, Lord, what's the point? What's the use? Nobody wants to hear it. Nobody wants what we've got to offer. But that ain't true. Some people do want it. Some people do want it. But here's the key you got to remember. We're just passing through. And while we're toiling and laboring and got that big old burden on our back, and we stumble and we fall and fumble around, make mistakes, while we're doing that, they're over in heaven. There's some of them hanging over the banister. Your mom and daddy, my mom and daddy, your daddy, they're hanging over the banister. They're looking back over there and they're building the mansion. And they look over yonder, there's a big old table being prepared. And they look back down here and they say, hey boy, keep on keeping on. Just keep on going. Brother Sam, your daddy, every once in a while, hey, Sam, keep on going, son. You don't believe what it's like up here. We're having a time. They're spreading the table. Your mama's a good cook, but she don't cook like they do up here. This is real angel food up here. Oh, brother, I can just hear. Brother Jeff, sometimes I feel like quitting. I get discouraged, and I hear my dad say, don't quit, son. Don't quit. Don't quit. Just keep on preaching. Keep on praying. Keep on witnessing. Keep on standing for what's right. If you're all by yourself, he said, son, you ain't gonna believe what it's like. You ain't gonna believe the meal they got prepared. And the Bible said that the bridegroom himself is gonna serve us. He said the bride's made herself ready. What do you think we're doing? We're not working to get to heaven. We're just getting cleaned up for the wedding. We're getting ready for a marriage supper, and the table's being prepared.
Amen.
Let's all stand this morning. I was looking last night, Travis showed us a couple of them wedding pictures. Showed me a picture of Lauren kissing him. That's the only time she was able to kiss him was that day. Boy, she looks so pretty in that pretty white dress. He looks so sharp in that suit. Showed a picture of me and him, even I look good. And it made me think about what I'm preaching this morning. A woman never looks better than on her wedding day. One of these days, we're going to walk down that street of glory. I know we don't look all that hot now. We don't feel all that good either. But man, there's a wedding day coming. They're spreading the table. We're going to celebrate it with Him. He built a table for us when He built the cross. Heavenly Father, meet every need here this morning.